Shabbat Snasol, make an accounting, and the Torah portion this morning was from Numbers, Bamidbar 6, 22 to 27. The Haftarah there was from Shoftim, the book of Judges, 13, 2 through to 13. And from the Masoretic writings, we had the section from the Bistorah according to Matachel. That was chapter 6, 25 through to 34. It's interesting, isn't it? I could hear in the background there this morning as Victor was up here reading from the scroll, from the Hebrew, and he was two words in, and already I could hear people in the background beginning to say the words for him and to chime in, because of course it is one of the most well-known, well-loved portions of the whole of the Torah, the one that we use at least once a day in one form or another, different blessings there, but the Aaronic blessing is the one, isn't it, which is the central focus. It's what we use to bless at the end of our Shabbat services. It's what we do in our Shacharit in the morning, our own private prayers at home, at Erev Shabbat, and so on and so on. The Aaronic blessing is absolutely the bedrock of all blessings that we see and understand. And yet, it's a little bit interesting. When we think about the placing of the Aaronic blessing, in the portion that we've got here, it seems to be really massively interrupting the flow and the narrative of everything that's going on around it. We're discussing in the portion about the community living and the principles of community living, how we're meant to be functioning together, all about how we are to function and live as a community, and then wham, right in the middle of all of this, which then picked up again after the Aaronic blessing, is the Aaronic blessing itself. Now, if you know anything about the Torah, if you know anything about the Hebrew mindset and the Jewish way of thinking, the moment you hear anything like that, the rabbis are bound to go, whoa, why is that there? Why couldn't they put it anywhere else? Why not put it, I don't know, halfway through Genesis or something, or halfway maybe through Deuteronomy as a summary of it all and the blessings of God upon Israel? No, here we are right in the middle of the desert and in the middle of all of our community teaching, boom, down it comes, the Aaronic blessing. There it is. And what is the Aaronic blessing? We begin to understand, and we understand what it is, we're beginning to think how and why it affects us in this way, what it is right there in the middle of this community structure that we have, because the Aaronic blessing is something vitally critical to our understanding. The Aaronic blessing is the transference of blessing onto us. The problem we've got is this, right? There's a bit of a problem we have. We have a problem with blessing. You know, someone sneezes around him. What do you say? Bless you. What? Really? Really? Why? What have they done? They sneezed, right? Does that earn a blessing? I don't know. We know our history. We know, right? Because of the Black Death and the plague. We know why people... But even then, actually, let's be honest, it was a superstitious act to try and stop the plague from spreading. That's not worthy of a blessing. People sometimes, I go somewhere to eat, not people in our community, thankfully, because most of you are well aware of all these things and understand, but sometimes they get invited to go somewhere and people will say, it's okay, Rabbi, will you bless the food? And I say, no. And they get really offended. And I say, you know what, if it's burnt, even if I bless it, it's still going to be burnt. Right? It's still going to be edible. I can bless it as much as I want. It's still not going to taste good. But will you bless my car, Rabbi? I've just bought myself a brand new car. Will you bless the car? No, I won't. I will thank the Lord for your blessing that He's given you a brand new car, and I will pray God will keep you safe in your Maserati as you're driving down the Autobahn to Germany at 150 kilometres an hour. I will pray He will keep you safe. But can I bless the car? Can you bless the food? It's an interesting concept because, you know, of course, in Jewish thinking, we don't bless inanimate objects. But we get down to the core of what's going on here with the blessing as we understand it. Because the blessing of God is, it just is, The blessing of God is just forever there. It always carries on. It doesn't cease. The blessing of God is something which is, we'd just say, extant. It's something which is just there. It always is there. So what is happening with the Aaronic blessing? The Aaronic blessing, and then frankly any other blessing which we care to bring after that, is to transfer the blessing of Adonai upon the recipients. Why the Aaronic blessing is there? It's for the Kohen HaGadol, the high priest, and for those who stand in his footsteps, as it were, after him. And we know that's why the rabbis and congregations do this. But any Kohen actually is in a position to do the Aaronic blessing in this way. There's a transference of blessing which is going on, a channel through which God's blessing flows. Recipients. Who are the recipients in all of this? It's fascinating when you look at the Aaronic blessing in this way. Throughout the Aaronic blessing, the singular pronoun is used all the way through. A strange grammatical pattern, you would think, and again, we are asking the question. Why is it that we say the Lord bless you, he's talking about you? Or you, or you, or you, or you, or you, or you. He's talking about you, singular. And yet, talking about the blessings will be upon Bnei Yisrael, collectively. And yet the blessing will rest upon you. It's not a grammatical error, there's not anything going on here which is difficult to understand on one level, but it is designed as a blessing in this way to get us to think for a moment of what is happening. The community is made up of individuals. The individuals together form the whole nation, or as we understand any subgroup like a synagogue community, where all of us come together as individuals who come together to worship and to pray and to receive the teaching, to receive the blessing and so on. Each and every one of us as individuals. But notice this, while the blessing is individual, and when Aaron blesses the people, he means to each and every one of you. The blessing is to the individual, but you can only receive it, how? By being part of the group. You have to be part of Bnei Yisrael. The blessing is for you, but you can only get it if you are part of the community, part of the nation, part of the whole. The only way to receive a blessing is to be together in community. Why is this vitally important in our day? Because everyone, every political party, every philosophy out there, our postmodern understanding, everything since the Enlightenment is telling us the individual is important above all else. It's what we've had since Enlightenment thinking. The Enlightenment threw overboard the concept of collegiality, of community beings, communities functioning for the good of the whole. It was the Enlightenment thinking that ditched a lot of this and began to say it's the individual who is the most important of all. The individual has the power, the individual for this, the individual for that. And we begin to lose the collectivity, the community. We lose the collective focus. But it's vital for us to understand, because it's really, really important. If you want God's blessing, you do not just ride off into the sunset on your one-man ministry band to receive God's blessing. That is not God's way. Now, that may sound harsh, but the scriptures are clear. The collective, the nation, the group, the community, Bnei Yisrael, together, made up of individuals, collectively you receive God's blessing. Quasi, if you cut yourself off from the community, then you're removing yourself from God's blessing. I'm not talking about if someone goes into error. That is not what I'm talking about. You have an obligation to walk away at that point, but that is not what I'm talking about. In the normal run of things, the community is where you are meant to be if you are going to receive his blessings. Working together, being the recipient of that blessing, is the oil that lubricates the community engine. I think Rabbi Sergei last week was talking about everyone being important. Yeah, I was listening, and Felicia and I was watching the live stream in Finland last week, and what a blessing that was. It was a blessing for the community there as well in the afternoon to hear Rabbi Sergei preaching and also translating. I know he was talking about how important we all are, and it is so true. Yes, as individuals we are important to God, but it's when he puts us into the community that it really begins to function, it really begins to work. What does it matter if you've got the most amazing spiritual gift in the world, if all you ever do is use it in your lounge? What does it do? How does it build up Israel? How does it change the world? The whole point, of course, is we know from what we nowadays term body ministry. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 and other places in Ephesians and so on, what we know from all of this, the point is that God gives good gifts to us to function with others who have other gifts and talents, which magnifies the gift that God has given to you. But who receives the blessing of all of that? The community. Israel. Our communities, our spiritual Jewish communities around the world. If we're functioning and walking in the Spirit, we all begin to receive the blessing of what other people bring in. And even, you know, I'm not necessarily talking about healings here. Healings are great. All these things are fantastic and awesome. But, you know, all the gifts that God gives us. I am thankful for the gifts of creativity, which we see in this synagogue. You may have burnt your fingers on the bottom of the flame there this morning if you were worshipping and lifting your hands up. You know? Yeah. And here. The gifts of creativity. You know who made these, don't you? Someone in our community? Yeah? I'm embarrassed her right now by saying, you know who I'm talking about. You can thank her afterwards. Little gifts. But we are blessed by them. If we come in on a Shabbat morning and we suddenly realise, yes, of course, it's Shavuot, isn't it? It's changed. The decorations have moved on to the next thing that is right now. I'm blessed with the people who are gifted with the gift of administration in this community. You know who they are, right? The fact that I can just pick up the phone and say I need X to happen, and praise God, normally within an hour it's happened in some form or other, or the wheels are turning to make it happen. The fact that everything runs smoothly with everything from, you know, the bills of this place to the finances and everything else, that people have been gifted in these things and function within our midst. I'm blessed with the people who are gifted with the spirit of cleaning. I mean, you might think you come in here on a Shabbat morning and miraculously the crumbs from the previous Shabbat meal are gone. It's not a miracle. It's because someone got the Hoover out. Do you see them? Probably not. Because I do, because I'm in here all week. But do you see who they are? The silent people who come to serve the Lord in this way during the week, who clean the kitchen, clean the toilets for you so they don't smell on a Shabbat morning when you come in, who rearrange all the seats to make sure they're all in order. The people who go out into the city to go and buy the challah that we eat on a Shabbat morning that you think miraculously drops through the ceiling onto a plate. No, someone went and bought it and brought it during the week and put it in the freezer so we could have it. These are the gifts and the talents which God gives us and the commitment that we have as a community. We begin to receive God's blessing, but it means being part of a community. Community is above all else what we're meant to be. A community that would receive his blessings. And it's the context of all this that proves to be critical, really, in more radical ways too, according to the Jewish thinking in all of this. Because Israel was conceptualized as a community that has God at the center of it all. And this is really, really important. His enabling presence and indwelling was visible for people around to see. In other words, it is our community that people out there, and I don't just mean our community, but I do mean our community, but it's all Jewish communities, Israel as a nation, as the biggest community of all, with God at the center of it, the people in the nation should be able to look and see that we are blessed. I'm not preaching health and wealth. I'm not interested in health and wealth. It's a lie, it's an error, it's not what we preach. But what we do understand is the blessing of God should rest upon us. That does not mean our lives are always a bed of roses. It does not mean that everything is fantastic and hallelujah glory from the moment we get out of bed to the moment we go to bed. Our lives sometimes are car crashes, we know this. But the blessing of God rests on us, that even at those critical moments, the world looks in and thinks, how are they even keeping going? How are they still joyful? Why are they still smiling? What is this thing that they've got, that if that was happening to me, I would be an absolute wreck? And yet this people are still functioning and still praising God, and they're still going on. This is the testimony that we have. God at the very heart of everything that we do as our community, and with his blessings resting upon us, it makes a difference. Now, you maybe never thought of it in this way. It's why Adat Yeshua is not a social club. We don't come together just to party, although we do that too on our high holy days, and we enjoy our food and we enjoy our Purim and Hanukkah and everything else that we do. We love these things. But we are not primarily a social club. We love each other. We love our conversations. We love our chats after our ornegs and kiddush and everything else. Of course we do. But that's not primarily what we're here for. Nor are we a hobby group. We're not just a little group that comes together because they're interested in something. We're not a theological interest society. That is not what we are. Nor even, dare I say, a pro-Israel, we love you, pressure group. That is not what we are. There are plenty enough other groups and options out there. If that is what you think it is, then please go to them. That is not what we are. We are a Jewish community that has God at the very heart of everything that we do. And that means we make a difference to this world. Because there's a world out there that does not have the living God at its heart. And his blessing rests upon us. A component part of the larger Israel. The nation that God called into existence through Abraham. And this is really, really crucial. Because we became his people by accepting his rule into our lives. That was the day we became his people. That was the day we became a community. We became a nation ruled by Adonai. It, what marks us out as being separate, marks us out as being different, because we are attached to our God in a way that the people of this world are not. And yeah, you're right. This sets us apart from the nations. This sets us apart from the world. We are not meant to be like this world. And we heard it just briefly there when you heard from the Besoro in Matthew Channel there, Matthew 6. And it says there about, you know, the nations. Now, I found it quite interesting that the Stern translates it pagans. Actually, it's an intriguing translation. Because actually the Greek going back to the Hebrew there is goyim. In other words, we could retranslate it. He's avoiding an issue here, I think, Stern. But let's retranslate it for a moment. This is what the Gentiles worry about. Because we're not Gentiles. The Gentiles worry about these things, where their clothes are going to come from, where their food is going to come from, where the roof over their head is going to come from. The Gentiles worry about these things. Why? Because they don't know God. We do. As Jewish people, we are meant to know him. As Jeremiah says, from the highest to the lowest, that we will all know our God. We're meant to know him. He rules in our lives, and therefore we are meant to be different from the people around him. As Abraham stepped out in faith nearly 4,000 years ago now, he sets the pattern for Jewish life. He sets it because of his faith. He sets it as he acknowledges that in the face of not even knowing where he was going, he walked on anyway and trusted God in faith. He sets the pattern for each and every one of us. He was able to trust God, able to have faith in God when he had no clue what the outcome was going to be. He could do this because he had accepted at that moment God's rule in his life. He bent the knee. He said to Adonai, "You're my God. And if you are saying I walk out into the desert to a place that I do not yet know, to a future that just seems crazy, and walk away from all my idols and walk away from my family and everything else that's going on, the culture that I knew, the language that I knew, to walk away from all of this and to walk into to humanly speaking, unsure future." All of this was a testimony that God's rule was in his life. He trusted God. This is how we are meant to be as a community. And if we stay as this community, if we operate as this community, we then begin to see and receive God's blessing upon us as we step out in faith. Faith motivates the Lord as he sees our faith. It motivates him to shower his blessings upon us, because his blessings are always there. We said at the very beginning, they are always there. He's not making up new blessings every morning. His blessings are always there, but we have to receive them as a community of faith that sees and understands that God himself has to be at the very heart of it all. As you trusted the Lord, the blessings flowed. In other words, those blessings flowed as you stepped out in obedience and faith. And upon that quality, upon that response of Abraham, God then goes on to build the community of Adonai, build his nation, a people, a global community in the land and spread around the world. Let's remind ourselves again. Independence is not a godly character trait. We're so used to thinking that it is. But Nimrod was the first independent. He was the first independent in that way. He rebelled against God, wanted to build a tower, set up his own kingdom. Independence is a trait of people who like to set up their own little nation, empire, kingdom, a place where they can rule. Even if it's just over their own lives, but we like to think we can rule. But it's not a godly character trait. You know what the scriptures say we should have as a character trait? Interdependence. That's what we should be aiming for. That the community functions and lives together. The ability to create a whole unified community operating as one, made up of all the individuals that we are. And that is why the Aaronic blessing is focused upon B'nai Yisrael, the children of Israel individually receiving the blessing of Adonai corporately and as a community. And of course, it's not just a beautiful bit of text. Nor is it just a useful piece of liturgy that we use in our prayer services and so on. It's not just a mere pattern of words, nor is it, as some claim, an invocation that somehow we're forcing God's hand to bring a blessing upon us. We don't have to force God to bless us. He just does it. Because he loves us. And what we do see with the Aaronic blessing, it's something quite interesting. You know, the tradition with the Aaronic blessing is that the high priest, rabbis and those who are blessing you, reach out to you with the blessing of God. God is reaching his blessing out to you. What do we need to do when God wants to bless us in this way? You know, it's not just to stand there passively. According to the scriptures, the blessing of God has to be reached out for as well. There's a response, people, that has to come from your side too. We have to reach out for the blessings of God. Because ultimately, as much as you may think when you see me at the end of the service blessing you with the Aaronic blessing, you think it's wonderful, Rabbi has blessed us. No, I haven't. I've got news for you, people. I can't bless you. Shocking, isn't it? I just don't have that power. I wish I did. be great, wouldn't it? I wander the streets going, bless you, I would. But I haven't got that power. Because it's God who blesses. When you hear the Aaronic blessing, when you see the arms go up at the end of the service for the Aaronic blessing, lift up your own arms to Adonai. Lift up spiritually your arms to Adonai to reach out for his blessing. Lord, I want your blessing. Thank you for blessing me. I reach out for it and I desire it in my life. Active response to God's blessing. Because it's always God who blesses. But then we reach a very, very interesting point. Are you ready for the controversial bit? Yeah? You know I like to be controversial. I like to throw the cat amongst the pigeons and see what happens. And yeah, I like a little bit of this. So are you sitting down? Good, you are. Okay, here we go. For the priestly blessing, you know, but it kind of wraps it all up with this. Verse 27 in chapter 6. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. It's interesting, isn't it? God will bless us, his children, only after the priests, or quasi today, the rabbis, have put my name on them. Quite astonishing. The blessing, as it begins to unfold, the arms go up, the blessing begins to descend, the prayer rises, God's blessing begins to fall, you're reaching out for his blessing. What happens at that point spiritually is really important. It's not just a nice fuzzy feeling that you get because you think, oh, God is blessing me. It's way more important than that. He is putting his name on you. You know when you go into a changing room, if you're the PE teacher, you go into a changing room and someone's left their t-shirt on the floor, how do you know who it belongs to? You pick it up. You know, if you've had children go through school, what's the one thing that's always hammered? Put your child's name in the bucket. Right, everything. Everything is labelled, even almost tattooed on their heads, so we know who they are. Anything gets lost, it can be returned to that child. This is what's going on here. You are God's PE kit. He's putting his name on you. He's writing his name on you. Each time we have that Aaronic blessing, he's going back and rewriting his name on you. Because you belong to him. And do you know what? If you belong to God, then you are blessed in him. But here comes the controversial bit. See, God just doesn't do this to anyone, does he? Who is it who he is blessing? B'nai Yisrael. You know, you can skip through the page of scripture. Trying to find times when God has blessed anyone else except his people. It's a really interesting one. Why is this so important? The blessing rests upon Israel because we are his people. He puts his name upon us. And it is predicated upon a covenant. Here comes the really exciting bit. God does not just casually bless. No other country, no other nation in this world has a covenant with the Lord as we do as Israel. No other nation. And it's through the action of that covenant, Abrahamic, Mosaic, and renewed, through the action of this covenant, we are now the recipients of God's blessing in our lives. On one level, we can sit there and we can feel outrage about this. And we can say, but God, just bless everyone. Bless everyone. Because they're all lovely people. And we can get very emotional and sentimental about it. But here's the nub of the issue. If God just blesses everyone, there is no advantage to being in the covenant of God. If God just blesses everyone, there is no advantage in being saved. If he just liberally just disperses his blessing, just on every single person out there, willy-nilly, with no response from that person at all, why send Yeshua to die? Why create Israel? Why have the covenants of God? I told you it was controversial. Because the blessings of God are connected to the covenants of God. The blessings of God come. Read the Mosaic covenant. It is quite clear. If you walk in obedience and trusting faithfulness, I will bless you. If you are walking in this world as a liar and a cheat and a fraud and doing this and doing that and sinning willy-nilly and throwing yourself back in the face of God because in your arrogance and your pride you feel you do not need him, do not expect to be blessed. That's not being harsh. That's biblical. But we've got so soft with our attitude towards blessings. Someone is willfully sinning against God and running away from God. He will pull back his blessings on that person to get them to understand that they are walking into darkness. It's how people wake up. It's how the prodigal son suddenly realized the blessings had been withdrawn. He was eating the rubbish that the pigs were eating. That's not a place of blessing. That's a place you end up in if you walk away from God and the blessings which he's given to us. We have no right to expect the blessings based upon the covenant between God and Israel if we refuse to place ourselves into that covenant and into that place. The blessings come when we're obedient. The blessings come when we continue that living relationship between us and God. The blessings will flow if you're sitting here this morning and you've got a hunger and a passion for God because you're in that covenant, you're in that contract right now. The covenant of Israel, the covenant of the renewed covenant, that salvation that's on your heart, the Torah that's written upon your heart, that is where you are right now. And therefore you are hungry for God, you want more of God, you're reaching out for his blessings. And at that point, God says, Yivarachicha Adonai. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. Because your response to him is right. Because those blessings are covenantally based. The mitzvot that we have, the acts of righteousness, are all set down in a covenant, be it the Mosaic or the renewed covenant. It's why we again, so we say, don't bless inanimate objects. The chair you're sitting on is not in the Mosaic covenant. It cannot be blessed. Your car is not born again. It cannot be blessed. You try and circumcise it to see how far you get. It's not part of a covenant. Okay? But we get fuzzy around the edges. We get soft around the edges. We think the blessings are flying around everywhere and for everyone. They're not. They are for the people of God. We are meant to live blessed lives to show people out there that God is God. And if we truthfully and faithfully follow him, the blessings will flow. Do you remember in the scriptures it says, do not be in haste to lay hands on someone. And we've often understood this verse as referring specifically for the smicha, for the blessing of ordination, for the laying on of hands, for ordination. Yes, that is true, but that's not the only way we can understand this verse. What happens when you bless someone, when you actually bless someone? We stand here with our hands raised because we can't individually, as it were, do it. When you bless someone, you lay your hands on them and you bless them. And the blessings of God are transferred. It's a transference that is going on. Don't be in haste to lay hands on someone. Don't be in haste to transfer blessings onto someone. Kind of almost rubs against the grain, doesn't it? But there's a reason for this. If your neighbour comes round and you're having a nice chat with them, don't be in haste to lay hands on them. Do what do you know about their lives? Are they going back and beating up their wife, or going back and continuing a life of debauchery or something? That's quite difficult at that point. It's not about withholding the blessing. Of course you can pray for that person. You should pray for that person. But I want to encourage you, rather than instinctively, oh, can I bless you, pray for them. It's going to do them a lot more good. At that point you can pray they can receive Yeshua. You can pray that they will understand who salvation is and receive him into their lives. You can pray that God will open their eyes to see him in their lives at that point. It's going to do them a lot more good. Because that person, if you just say, can I just bless you? They'll go, oh, thank you very much. And I'll walk away. What has happened? What has happened? They think they're okay. Because you just blessed them. They're not okay. If they're not a believer, they're not okay. They don't know God. They don't know Yeshua. They're not okay. Let's just pause a little bit before we rush to lay hands on people in this way. To bless in the Jewish way is to acknowledge covenantal ownership. When I bless you, when you bless each other, when we do this as a community, the blessings that we are doing is a transference of God's blessings because of the fact we are his PE kit. His name is on us. That's why we can receive his blessing. We belong to him. And if we belong to him, then the blessings will flow. And that brings me to my final comment here, really. And it's a comment which is reaching forward a little bit to tomorrow, in all of this with Shavuot. It's a comment because we read again and again and again in the Messianic writings, in the scriptures, just as we did there in Matthew, the Gentiles worry about these things. It's the Gentiles who worship pagan gods. It's the Gentiles who do this. It's the Gentiles who do that. We see it again and again and again. Why is this so important to understand? Because the Gentiles, the nations outside of Israel, are not nations that receive his blessing. Now, bless God, in the West at least, lots of Western countries still have a biblical heritage, which means there are many, many individual believers. Praise God for that. And these individual believers often have gone on to have huge impact within the countries in which we have lived. Praise God for that. They have kept some of the worst sins of corruption and everything else which attacks countries. Believers often keeping these things at bay. But we cannot say that the pagan nations are blessed of God because they have no covenant with him. We as Israel do. All the nations can experience is the blessing of God coming through the individuals as they allow God's blessing to come through them and impact the nations in which they live. But the nation as a whole has no covenant with God. We do. We do. That is why we're not expecting the Canaanites to pop up anytime soon. They're gone. It's why we don't have the Medes in the Eurovision Song Contest. They're gone. Why? All the other ones, the Hittites. When was the last time you saw a Hittite in Sainsbury's? You know, probably a long, long time ago. In fact, never really, since about 6,000 years ago, whenever it was. No, these nations aren't coming back anytime soon. Why? They didn't have a covenant with God. Nations come and go. Empires come and go. You know, the Roman Empire came and it went. The Persians came and they went. The Babylonians came and they went. The Western Empire now came and it is probably wenting as we watch. It's falling apart. Really? No, the West has no more God-given right to exist as an empire or anything than any other pagan nation or collectivity of nations. They come and they go. But what has prevailed? Israel. That's why the nations are so shocked, of course. Because against all the grain, we were expected to be consigned to the history of the Hittites and the Canaanites and everyone else, and then wham, 1948, we're back in the land again. Why? Because we have a covenant with God. And God is faithful. We as a nation experience His blessing. You know, we didn't deserve God's blessing in 1948. We didn't. We didn't earn having our land given back to us again. There is a singular reason why we are now back in our land again. Because God has blessed us as His nation, His people, His community. That is God's faithfulness to bless. It's a blessing this world does not understand. But it gives us a calling, it gives us a task. We're going to talk a bit more about this tomorrow in Shavuot, in the sermon then. Because we have a calling and a task to reveal that blessing to the nations. It's what we're meant to be. Not for us to hold on to those blessings. They're ours that we aren't going to share with anyone else. We are called to share those blessings with everyone. You know, when Israel shares its technology with Saudi Arabia, when Israel sells its pharmacies to the Muslim nations, even when we are bombed and attacked, it says we are blessed of God because we are. We have the technology, we have the pharmacies, we have the things in this world which are today changing this world around us, which we see. And we give them to the nations, and we sell them too. But you know, we're happy to share them with the nations. Why? Because we are meant to share God's blessing in this way. What would be the point if we have some drugs that work against cancer, if we only ever give them to our people in our nation? What a travesty that would be. What a lack of testimony that would be. But we do this because we know our God blesses us. And God blesses us as a community. We are meant to show that to the people here around us, even in this immediate area, that they can share in our blessings in this way, because it leads people to the feet of Yeshua. It leads people to the living God of Israel. Because that is the place of blessing. And I will continue with more of that tomorrow. Amen.